fluency about power is part of the problem, right? We don't understand it very well. Don't talk about it, we don't think about it very critically, and yet power is everything. Power is the ability to act. And these practices for awakening leadership are really all about the right use of power in the world. This spiritual power that we have available to us, the power of life. And they're necessary because of the destruction and the imbalance that is wrought by the organized and systemic wrong use of power. Power over is another way to talk about wrong use of power. In wielding power over others, in order for you to obtain your own gain, whatever that might be. Organized and systemic wrong use of power has gotten us to the place where we are in terms of climate destruction and in terms of all the other layers of destruction that are happening in our world. The practices, on the contrary, are about accessing spiritual power, which, when used rightly, looks not like power over, but it looks like power within and power among. This is what these practices are about, awakening a power within and the power among. Now, as humans, particularly those of us living in first world or developed world, we can't not participate in destructive power. We can't not. How do we participate in destructive powers, even though we don't want to? What are just some examples? Driving cars. Driving cars. Flying airplanes. Flying airplanes.
Run our oil furnaces.
Oil furnaces, right?
Drinking coffee.
Consumer culture, having more than we actually need, and having, so we participate in that, but we're also part of a system that has designed it that way,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So that we can't not participate in our own demise. I think about that a lot with my boys growing up. How do I teach them to live? I don't think humans were designed to every day have to make choices against our better will. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're designed that way. I don't feel designed to have to participate in choices that are hurting my children every single day. Because I can't not. Because of the system. But I think it makes us sick. Literally. To do that. We talk about white supremacy, racism, you know, the culture of racism that we participate in, we've been steeped in it, so whether we want to or not, we're dysfunctioning in those systems of sexism and heterosexism and all those. But we can't eliminate destructive power or the temptation to wield power over others. Can't eliminate that. But it's also true that indigenous peoples all over the world, over literally thousands of years, developed cultures that minimized and balanced the destructive forces didn't eliminate them. They weren't like, you know, like utopian societies, right? That we can sometimes project back, you know, as indigenous peoples, right? But over millennia, developing cultures of minimizing and balancing the forces of destruction so that the powers of destruction would be kept in check and not able to escalate to the point where they're so escalating that the entire future of humanity is in peril. Did you know that this deep indigenous wisdom is at the center of our own scriptures and faith traditions? Where do you see it?
Genesis.
What's that?
Creation stories in Genesis.
Mm-hmm. And what? What?
The especially Genesis 2. It's sort of an ancient Semitic indigenous wisdom of the fact that the breath of life that God, every living being has the breath of life, not just Adam. There's, if you look at it look closely, that everything has the breath of life from God, and that Adam is the earth creature from Adamah, the earth, if you look at the Hebrew. So, and like humans from the humus, so this deep connection that we are earthlings, and that the human was created to be in this nurturing relationship with the soil to tend and keep and also be preserved and conserved. There's, so
it's so there.
Yeah.
It's so there right there.
Yeah.
And what about the practice of Sabbath? Mm-hmm. Right? The practice of Sabbath. Sabbath is about limits. It's about self-limiting. And you know why? There are two reasons, always, when the injunction to practice Sabbath comes up in Scripture. Two reasons why that is important. Remember what they are? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Because the Lord your God created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day rested. In the very pattern of creation, it are limits and boundaries and rest and saying, you know, I won't go further because that would hurt myself and the beings around me. So honor the Sabbath because of creation. Honor the Sabbath also because remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And when you are enslaved, oppressed people, you don't get a Sabbath. That's part of being enslaved. You don't get to rest. Somebody else decides what you have to do.
And because you were slaves in Egypt, you have to remember that you also have to make sure that your servants were slaves and your animals also get Sabbath in the land. So everything has to participate in Sabbath with you.
Yeah. So it shall not be so among you. We will not replicate the system that I, the Lord your God, taught you. Right? The Sabbath practice. And of course, the great Sabbath, the Sabbath of Sabbaths, is the year of Jubilee. Right? Year of Jubilee, where any economic imbalances that had occurred over the last 49 years were put back into balance. Balance was restored. So people who had to sell their land or their labor as indentured servants would go free and would get their land back.
Is that why restored balance is number 7?
Amen. And surprise, surprise, Leviticus 25, which is where the Jubilee vision is articulated, doesn't get much play in American Christianity. Other parts of Leviticus do.
Preach it.
Just saying. Because it undoes every American myth that you can accumulate indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Right. So we cannot talk about the Liberty 25. It's a heresy to American Christianity. But despite how it is marginalized or made invisible, Jubilee was right also at the center of Jesus' ministry.
Yes.
Luke 4, right when Jesus returns from the wilderness, after his 40 days, he goes straight to the temple in Nazareth and proclaims what? Pulls out the scroll? Mm-hmm. Isaiah 61. What does it say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Or can we say, practice once. I have accessed the power of God.
Yeah.
And that power is now within me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know what the year of the Lord's favor is?
Jubilee.
It's the year of Jubilee. Right? Right at the heart of Jesus' ministry. This is Jesus' mission statement, huh? Mm-hmm. Is to bring back Jubilee practice. About economic and social rebalancing.
Mm-hmm. And Mary's magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The year of economic redistribution to keep the destructive and oppressive powers in check. To not eliminate them, not destroy them, but keep them in check, in balance, in their place, so that all creatures might live in safety and shalom. Now, does anyone remember the part that Jesus left off when he quoted Isaiah 61?
Proclaim the year of the Lord's vengeance.
Amen. That's the next line. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the, what does it say? And the day of vengeance for our God.
So it's okay to edit.
What's that?
It's okay to edit.
Right? Seriously.
So that was in Isaiah, but not in,
Right. So Isaiah, so Jesus is reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and reading, release from darkness from the prisoners to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The second half of that sentence cuts it mid-sentence. The second half of that sentence, and the day of vengeance for our God. But Jesus stops after proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Right.
And what you're reading from, what Jesus says, is from where?
Luke 4.
So there's a one of the ways that we read the Bible is scripture interpreted scripture.
Yeah.
So Jesus was interpreted.
Exactly.
There,
right? Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Because the right use of God's power of love is not for vengeance. The right use of God's power of love is to restore balance and to create a culture in which we can feel that connection, that deep connection in time and space. Not just on a Saturday morning at a retreat far away from home, right? But every day. To create a culture where it's not weird to be absolutely enthralled with the umbilical cord of a crate. We could live this way, people. We've been breathing it in and out this whole time. What we do with that power is up to us. These practices that we're immersing ourselves in today, these practices for awakening leadership, can help us claim this spiritual power and teach us in its right use.